This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Here's Jaron, first pitch. Durant swings, and he skies one. Right field and struck well. Wallner looks up. It is gone! To the upper deck at Target Field. Jaron Duran unloads for the second day in a row. A tape measure shot, and it's 8-1 Red Sox in the sixth.
Ladies and gentlemen, fans, that was the play of the game brought to you by our friends at Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. After struggling to come up with a victory with a rain-altered ninth inning the other night with Jordan Hicks having to warm up not once but twice in a game that was very winnable, your Boston Red Sox still take 2 of 3 from the Minnesota Twins. Today's game, and it really wasn't even this close, a final of 13-1, as you heard on the WEEI Red Sox radio network with Mike Monaco and Will Fleming on the call. That, of course, follows last night's 8-5 win for the Red Sox. So they win 21-6. No extra point for Minnesota over the last two games. Still, that gives them 2 out of 3 wins. And as we make our way into WEEI Afternoons here with your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens alongside Big Teddy Johnson in the ballgame himself, Dan Ballgame, Brian Frazoco behind the glass and bringing all that sass, I would like to remind you, the audience, that the MLB trade deadline is but a day away, and as our guy Ted Johnson told us a few weeks ago, if the Red Sox were able to complete their 12-game gauntlet leading up to the trade deadline at least 6-6, then he would be convinced that this needed to be a buyer's market and that they should invest and buy in on the team. And not that math has always been my strongest suit, Dan Ball, but how did those Boston Red Sox that we love so much do over those 12 games?
Well, exactly that, as a matter of fact. And they kind of did it in a way that should give fans a little bit of hope about what this team is. Are they the best team in the league? No, but they weren't that, other than that 10-game winning streak, they weren't that at any point this season. But what they proved is that they can hang with and save for a couple of bad innings, compete with some of the better teams, the division leaders in baseball, Ted, and they can beat the brakes off of some of the teams that they should be beating in Major League Baseball. And so for me, that's a 6-6 record, and that's kind of the takeaways that I was hoping for.
Yeah, look, I mean, I wanted them to be 6-6 going in, considering who they were playing. I mean, they played three of the top division leaders in the National League coming out of the All-Star break. And so I wanted them, you know, I would have felt good on a team that was going into the All-Star break with a 10-winning streak, to kind of finish the next 12 games before the trade deadline at 6-6. And that's exactly what they did. And there's, you know, some of the other indicators that would tell you that they should be absolutely be buyers is what Dan and I were talking about before we came on, Fitzy, is just basically what Dan just said, that, you know, they beat the bag out of the bad teams, and they compete and split with the really good teams. They have a very good home record. And then also, to me, something that jumps out, even though their bullpen has let them down a little bit recently, they have a top, you know, 8 bullpen in the major leagues, as well as something we just recently we were just talking about, Dan and I, right before we came on, was the Baseball Reference now has them at a 68.8% chance of making the playoffs. I mean, a month ago that was under 30, and right now they are, you know, basically 70% chance of making the playoffs. When you have those kind of odds and the team with this kind of momentum, Fitzy, to me, if they don't do something of some significance in the next 24 hours, you're going to have a very, very, very disappointed fan base.
68.8% likelihood of the Red Sox making the playoffs. Go ahead and round that up, Ted. That's 69%.
Yeah. There you go.
That's nice. Pretty nice. I like to hear it. Yes, you are listening to WEEI Afternoons, everyone. It's a truncated, abbreviated post-Red Sox edition of your favorite Boston sports afternoon show. We are with you until 6 p.m., at which point we will throw the baton and flash grenade into the room of the Christian Arcan Show, and he'll have you rocking and rolling tonight as well. You guys know the number, 617-779-7937, if you want to text at us or give us a call and join the conversation. We will be talking some Red Sox. We'll talk some trade deadline. We'll, of course, get into day 7 of Pat's Camp 2025 and our pal Mego, who has been part of the Six Rings WEEI Patriots coverage team, was down there today. She'll be calling in at 5:30 today with a training camp report. So 6-6 they go. Okay, time to buy in. With less than 24 hours to go, obviously it's going to be a feverish, if not frenetic, dash to the trade deadline to check in on how many trades the Red Sox have made and what they've done so far. We throw it now to the trade deadline desk with Dan Ball. Dan, how many trades have the Red Sox made?
Fitzy, fantastic question. I'm glad you asked. Thank you so much for joining us here on the EEI trade desk. We'll hopefully be busy tomorrow, but today they have done absolutely nothing. Now, what we have heard, we've heard a lot of rumors. We've heard a lot of interest Kings-related related stuff the last 24, 48 hours.
God, talk about going Christmas shopping on December 24th at 3 p.m. You had all year, Sox.
And the one report, Fitzy, that kind of marries up with that is that the Red Sox in their front office has been in stealth mode. That's how it was described last night, how a rival executive stealth said mode. That they haven't heard from Craig Breslow or the Red Sox really on anything to this point in the trade deadline. So the positive spin, Ted, is that they're doing their due diligence and they wanted to then after the team, you know, finish their series, take stock of exactly where they are and then be aggressive in the 24 hours that follows. The negative is everybody in the American League around you is making their trades, and the Red Sox are still at the starting gate right now.
And it's funny, Fitzy, if you listen to Will Fleming and Mike Monaco kind of before they signed off, I mean, they were talking as if it's a foregone conclusion that they are the Red Sox are going to make a deal. I mean, you hear
they're
Will
talking
Fleming,
as if it was already done.
I mean, he goes, oh, it's going to be, I mean, they were saying things like, it's going to be a great flight. I can't wait. This is going to be fun. They're going to be buyers. I mean, I'm like,
didn't I also hear Will Fleming, Ted, excuse me, didn't I hear him say, like, if it, in my estimation or my guess is it's going to, the team is going to look significantly different?
Yeah. I mean, those are all
those
like
are, those are big
I
mean, words from a big voice
for him
on
to
a big
say
baseball
that
team.
For a guy that's the connected that close to the team is, I mean, if they don't do something, I mean, partly because of kind of the vernacular they've been using for the last month too, you know, that being Sam Kennedy and Craig Breslow, they have they've had us all thinking, and they have Will Fleming, the voice of the Red Sox, pretty much guaranteeing that they are going to do something here in the next 24 hours that is significant and big. And so I don't know. I mean, it just feels like at times ticking away. But when you listen to those guys, it feels as if something big is coming.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted. Very appreciate that very much. We throw it now to the Fenway Frustration Desk with our own Ted Johnson. Ted, what is your level of anxiety or angst right now as to there being 24 hours or less until the trade deadline? I know you said if they don't make any moves, that you think that there will be, I won't say riots in the streets outside of Fenway, but an incredibly frustrated fan base. Where are you? Are you comfortable in what you heard today on the broadcast and what you think Breslow and Cora and company are going to pull off? Or do you think that they're going to look at the way the Red Sox, coming out of that stretch, 6-6, once again, a lot of winnable one-run games that they blew, but that's how the 2025 Red Sox roll. Do you think that they're only going to make minor adjustments and say, hey, we're pretty happy with the
man,
team we have?
You know, there's a lot, again, there's a lot of indicators that would say that they're going to do something. Just maybe kind of the as active as they were before the season. They did things I think a lot of us didn't think they would. You know, bringing in Bregman, for example, you know, trading for Crochet. We did not think they would. Did you ever think they would have the you know, the raisins to trade Rafi Devers? I didn't. And so they've done things, and just the way in which they talk and are acting is in a way, I feel like they kind of are flexing. And so you don't flex unless you got something to back it up, right? And so I just look, Alex Cora is going to go in there and he's going to tell them, look, guys, if you don't do something, you know what's going to happen in this clubhouse? You've seen it before. They have. John Henry has seen what that locker room does when they don't do something at the trade down. You talk about suck your thumbs and feel sorry for yourself. I was down in Houston covering the Astros when Bregman was there, when the Astros wouldn't do something at the trade deadline, and it was such a palpable kind of just bratty, like, you know, yeah, if you're not going to, you know, buy for us, then, you know, we're not going to try kind of thing. And that's the one thing, that dynamic I worry about, you guys, is that attitude going in the tank if they don't do something.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And this team is, because I think it's just because of the youth, Fitzy, they are extremely momentum driven. You saw today's a perfect
great
example
point
of what happens,
yep,
when they're good. If it's going good, if you're getting Roman Anthony leading off, and by the way, he's been untouchable as the leadoff hitter of the
Red
Sox.
Real quick, side note to your note, Dan, and let me just grab the conch shell real quick.
Yes.
But there must have been something going on. Not to say that some of the litany of excuses or rationale we get from Alex Cora with his weekly interviews with WEI Afternoons is all smoke and mirrors, and not to say that it's all valid as well, but there had to have been something going on. He must not have been feeling well or himself, because the Roman Anthony that came out of the gate post All-Star break versus the guy right now that is almost impossible to get out, night and day. This kid is growing up so fast in front of our eyes, it's absurd. What a stud.
Well, that the unique thing about this situation too, and you're absolutely right, especially during Chicago, there was that one game where he was playing left field and then they switched him and Yoshida because he was under the weather. So it seemed like some of that first road trip, he definitely was playing at less than 100%. He was almost exclusively a leadoff hitter in Worcester this year. I remember looking at those lineups, it'd be Anthony, Meyer, and then basically nobody who covered the Woo Sox cared about the rest of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Because it was those two and then the rest. So Fitzy, I kind of feel like their version of eased him into Major League Baseball as the, you know, four hitter, then the three hitter, then the two hitter. This guy has been groomed to be a number one hitter for the Boston Red Sox, and the way that he puts pressure on and sets up Bregman and then sets up Jarren Duran, Fitzy.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnaround for Duran has been eye-opening. That's a .299 hitter in the month of July right now.
Someone, as the great Dan Patrick used to say, is currently on fuego.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Jarren Duran making a case for himself. Don't you trade me. Don't you dare. I'm just now finally unlocking 2024 Jarren Duran, the 2025 edition. And so he goes. And of course, we were told by the great St. Bregman in spring training that so Trevor Story goes, so goes this offense. Yeah. And the sky will not even be the limit. And of course, it's another day where Trevor goes yad and the Red Sox offense pops off for a 13th spot. Let's look quickly, guys. Not at the 10-game winning streak heading to the All-Star break, or even just these 12 games. Let's just look at the last couple of games. Let's look at the Minnesota series, if you will, or if you want to go Dodgers and Minnesota series. I'd like to look just maybe especially first at the last couple of games. Giolito, good start last night. And yes, I know the Twins are not the 2001 Oakland A's, but you have a great start from Giolito last night. Ups and downs in the bullpen. My guy Whitlock looks good once again. Why he didn't close out the game Monday night with the rain delay and everything else, and Jordan Hicks was forced to make that appearance, I have no idea, but we live in the now. We don't worry about the past. And then today, 13 runs with everyone. You get a hit. You get a hit. Four guys going yard. But more importantly, Brian Bayo, who we found out and they said during the broadcast is much better. Deo Bayo is like night and day. It's unbelievable how much better he is during the daytime. Two quality starts in a row. Back to six innings or more, one run or less. Giolito looks good. Bayo looks good. Do you think the way that they played, taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and 2 of 3 from the Twins, will convince Red Sox ownership and brass and Craig Breslow, the Brezbot, that it's more minor and cosmetic needs as opposed to significant, like, oh my God, I can't believe they got that guy to add to the lineup. And did you see the pitcher they traded for? I'm kind of thinking that it's not going to be as massive as we heard during the broadcast.
I worry that you're exactly right, and I worry that that was going to be the case regardless of the result.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
Regardless
that,
of the result.
Regardless of the result, just because I've picked up on quite the trend that this leadership group is quite adept at posturing. They know exactly what the narrative is that they want to have out there, and they know what time of year they want it out there. It's relatively significant that all this stuff leading into the trade deadline, oh, we're going to buy, you know, leading into the All-Star break, you have that huge homestand, you get people all buying in, the Red Sox are playing well, Fenway Park is packed, and then coming out of it, you have a series against the Dodgers, you know, the traveling circus of Major League Baseball that you want people in the stands. And I just worry that what we were told, no matter what, was not necessarily going about being aggressive and all that kind of stuff, was never going to marry up with the fact that they were actually going to do it. Because I can't shake, Ted, the phrase that I read in that passing story, organizational efficiency. I worry that was going to be the edict that they were following, regardless of if they went 12-0 or 0-12.
Yeah, that's nerds that have taken over your organization. That's how they I mean, seriously, like that if we are efficient, we justify our jobs.
Yep, absolutely.
That's all that is. It's, you know what? It's winning isn't their main concern. Being efficient is what they're graded on.
No dollar and cent that's unaccounted for is how I take that phrase.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I don't know which way they're going. It just feels like all the evidence would suggest they're going to do something. But would anybody be surprised if they didn't do much of it? They'll do something, just minor, just to kind of do something. But you know, I think of the Red Sox, I think of the Yankees, I think of the Dodgers, the Blue Bloods, and haven't both the Dodgers and the Yankees made trades already to improve mm-hmm. their teams?
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them already have. And so, I judge the Red Sox behavior a lot of times on how those two organizations conduct business. And both of them, of course, have already made tweaks to their roster in which they think is going to improve. So, and yet the Red Sox haven't. So we'll see.
617-779-7937. If you want to jump in on the conversation, do you believe that the Boston Red Sox have a couple of significant moves up their sleeves in advance of the trade deadline, which, of course, is tomorrow, July 31st? Do you think organizational efficiency, as Dan Ball likes to remind us, will take over and be the operative phrase of the day and how they handle the trade deadline? Or does anybody have any idea what Breslow and Kennedy and Henry and Cora and company are going to do? I have a feeling that days like this, guys, when Jaron Duran pops off and looks the part of a superstar, are going to, even though you got Yoshida going yard and Yoshida's bat finally waking up, you have to remind yourself once again, it is the Twins. But I don't think that a day like that is going to give them the comfort that they would look for to trade a guy like Duran. Like, if I had to bet right now, if we were using an app or at the Parimutuel window and I was betting on who they would hold on to and who would probably be a likely candidate, Dan, I don't see Duran getting moved. And I know there have been the stories leading up, Red Sox more likely than not to trade Duran or break up the outfield depth right now, which I think is good. I'd rather they just empty the farm system and give these guys the reinforcements that they need, as opposed to possibly upsetting the chemistry on a team that seems to really, really, really like each other and have all the right vibes. They just need a little more depth right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting to the point where I'm with you. I think if AJ Preller and the Padres specifically come back with an offer that you can't refuse, so to speak, then I'm still listening for that. But I wanted to make this one point on Duran as well. The fact that the last couple weeks, he's now got a 5 or 6 game hit streak. He's the power's back, all that kind of stuff. It looks like either directly or indirectly he's responding to the many rumors that are going on around him by playing his ass off and trying to say, I want to remain a member of the Red Sox. And I say, good for him. That's what I want to see. If you're kind of being kicked out of town and you've already been moved out of center field, you've been moved out of your leadoff spot, mm-hmm. you're kind of being shown the door without being officially shown the door by your franchise, and you respond by saying, no, blank all that. I want to be here. I want to be a part of this. I'm about to show you what you're going to lose if you do trade me, Ted. Good for him. That's exactly the kind of response I want to see from a guy on my favorite team when he hears that he might be headed out of town.
Excellent point. I wonder if, maybe the best thing that happened to Jaron Duran is Roman Anthony. In the sense that you had, it just didn't feel like you had any options at the leadoff, spot.
Yeah.
Before Roman Anthony came to the big club, and now that he's proven he can do it, I just think the more you can take pressure off of Jaron Duran, just the way he's wired mentally, the better he'll perform. And I just think being able to move back in the lineup in that three spot has just taken a little bit of pressure off of him, and now he's playing like he did last year, which he wasn't for most of the better part of the first part of the season. I think partly because he never felt comfortable being in that leadoff role there, Fitzy.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. And as you've pointed out time and again, Ted, when you have a comfortable Jaron Duran that doesn't have the pressure on him, like you were just saying, that frees him up to use that freakish athletic ability of his.
Yep.
And the hustle and the heart have never been in question. That's undeniable. We know Jaren Duran cares. We know Jaren Duran's been through a lot. We know Jaren Duran wants to win and wants to remain with the Red Sox. But now that his talent is shining through, now that he's popping off a little bit, you got to ride that wave. Don't give anyone else a chance to steal that sunshine. Like, you absolutely need to see what you can do with a hot hitting Jaren Duran, because they're 59-51. Side note, Dan Ball, 33-19 to get to 92-70, so we can update the tote board. Thank you very much. You have to see what you can do. You haven't had a healthy Bregman and a productive Duran and a red-hot Roman Anthony all in the lineup together at the same, with a positive Masataka Yoshida as well. Like, this offense may be turning the best corner it possibly can, so give him a little extra. Give him a push. Give him a nudge. Kick him in the ass on the way out the door right now and make some trades. And Red Sox Nation is speaking up at 617-779-7937. Before we go to the break, let's grab a quick call. Let's kick things off today with Paul in New Hampshire. Paul, welcome to the show, big guy.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, so this is the part where you tell us what's on your mind.
You make this big trade, but you have to know that if you don't give up Duran, the only players these teams want are Anthony, Meyer, and Campbell. And if you don't give up one of those three, you're not going to get Diddley. Secondly, I was wondering what Anthony thinks that Campbell signs the $60 million contract and he doesn't have anything other than the bare minimum. What do you think about that? That's my comment for the day.
Thank you very much, Paul. We appreciate you chiming in. His line is open if you guys want to jump in. I don't think Roman Anthony's thinking too much about Christian Campbell signing a deal that could pay him anywhere between 60-some-odd and $100 million because he's making money and he's playing in AAA right now, and that doesn't affect the price of milk or how it tastes for Roman Anthony right now. As far as being forced to or having to give up one of your prized prospects, you may not have to go beyond just giving rather not prospects, your major league talent. You may be able to, Dan Ball, convince a team that enough prospects with some, you know, not exactly a premium price is enough to get the talent you need for your bullpen or your lineup without having to say farewell, Duran, or, you know, adios, Abreu.
Yeah, I appreciate Paul's call, but he's largely incorrect on both fronts there. You don't just have to give up Duran or have to give up one of your top three prospects. The Red Sox still have a very deep farm system. They just reorganized everything, and Franklin Arias is in there, Peyton Tolley, the left-handed pitcher, Connelly Early, another they have solid up-and-coming prospects that are there to be dealt. And honestly, other than, and Fitzy, I want to hear your answer on this. Other than Roman Anthony, Garrett Crochet, and Alex Bregman, I'll put those three together, and probably Carlos Narvaez because I'm a huge fan. Is there anybody who you would slam the phone down if another team was calling about them off the major league roster?
The fact that Meyer can't get through a season healthy sometimes makes me wonder if somebody just absolutely blew the doors open and then in the process it knocked my socks off. Like, I'd take the call. But no, I wouldn't humor anything on Crochet, Anthony, or the value of St. Bregman and the leadership factor that he brings to the team. After that, I'd listen to anyone and anything.
You can't,
pardon my double negative, Ted, but you can't not at least take the call at this point.
No, I agree. No, I absolutely agree. So, particularly if it gets a two or three starter.
Right.
You know, if you get a pitcher that's, worthy of a, you know, kind of a two or a three, then you got something right there. So that would be the position that I would be willing to trade more of my assets for than maybe say a right-handed bat or an end of the rotation guy.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you want to jump in on the conversation or send us a text and share your thoughts digitally with WEEI Afternoons on all things Red Sox. Their 2-out-of-3 series win against the Twins, the trade deadline coming up, and so much more. Thank you for joining us on the Odyssey app on 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com and beyond. We're going to pay a couple of bills, and when we come back, we'll get a little bit deeper into this trade deadline and the teams that are possibly listening, the players that could potentially be available, and so much more, including one who throws the ball real hard and just got a good look at the Red Sox at Target Field himself. You're listening to Dan Ball, Big Ted Johnson, and Nick Fitzy Stevens right here on WEEI Afternoons.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
the wild card team with the best chance to make a big move? The Boston Red Sox. Sandy Alcantara could be in play for the Red Sox. They've been playing with a lot of energy ever since the Rafael Devers trade, and I believe that for a variety of reasons, Sandy Alcantara or another starting pitcher of that level could be the key piece that gets the Red Sox to and through some playoff rounds in the American League this October.
I was today years old when I realized all this time I've been mispronouncing his name. Here I've been like a common baseball plebeian saying Sandy Alcantara, when of course I should be saying Sandy Alcantara. Sounds so much more exciting when you say it that way.
I'm still good with your first one, though. No shade to John Morosi. He's a great reporter, but that felt very out of place for the rest of that sentence.
That just reminds me, like, when you're watching the local news and someone comes on, good evening, and you're watching the Fox local news. I am Eugenio Suarez. Like, just give us your name. Speaking of which, by the way, that might be the most difficult name that I've heard more people on talk radio and television butcher than the third baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks, one of the hotly mentioned names swirling around the trade mill these days, Eugenio Suarez. Four teams linked to him, none of them being the Red Sox as well at this time, although our friend from the Major League Baseball Network, John Morosi, there on the rejoin, saying that Sandy Alcantara could possibly be a target for the Red Sox. This is a guy Brad Foe told us last week. Sure, he's looked better of late, but you're coming off of you had a bad season, coming off of the TJ surgery, dinged up a little bit earlier this year. That one doesn't sound so much like a sure thing to me. Unless the Red Sox have a little more intel, fellas, on how he's feeling, if they've got a look at the medicals, or they want to take a flyer on someone who could be Cy Young level down the stretch for them as well, I would understand, and that probably would be a prospect-laden blockbuster or blockbuster-adjacent deal for the Red Sox. But, man, before that happens, I would feel better about something like, you know, Zach Gallen. Merrill Kelly is just, you know, right down the middle. Mitch Keller, we've talked about. Dan, the closer, obviously, as well from the Pirates. And, you know, if anyone's listening and the Rays want to get frisky, the Yandy Diaz move, I know that would cost a lot, but man, wouldn't he look good in a Sox uniform.
I am all in on Yandy Diaz, personally. The swing fits Fenway well. He hits extremely well at Fenway. He plays first. He's played a little bit of third. He is mainly a DH with the Rays because his first defense isn't incredible, but as has been stated a lot this year, your bar for good first base defense is pretty low. So he gives you a top four bat in your lineup. I think he slots in pretty well as your cleanup hitter behind Duran with the current alignment of your lineup. And he solves something, Ted, that just kind of bugs me on a playoff team. Your platoon at first base is something that I would rather not see the Red Sox go forward with. I think he gives you something that's absolute, something that's certain at first base, and that has been your biggest rotational spot other than second
so
far this season.
What is it about that first base? I just like the...
It's become the new drummer for Spinal Tap.
Is that what it is? I just like having like a stud there. Like just a...
Yeah.
Right. Someone that you just kind of just know is always going to be a steady defensive player, you know, that can can hit the snot out of the ball. You're right. They just haven't forever had any stability at that position. Look, the guy's a monster. He feasts on the Red Sox too. The guy's he just looks like the kind of guy you want on this team. So I look, right-handed bat too, right? So he's that's a need. So I hadn't even heard his name. Are we just pulling names out of our butt? Is this being linked to a
this came up a couple weeks ago. Fitzy, Chris Cotillo was the first to report about it in Mass
Robert
Live.
Murray, correct.
And so now within the hour, Robert Murray from The Athletic has said that not only is he a name that's being linked, but the Rays are now listening on him. So that is a significant difference. And as much as we've heard, Fitzy, that the Red Sox have been very high on him if he does hit the market.
Yeah, so Ted, that tells me that's one of those, we don't feel the need to move him. He's not out front with a for sale sign. But if you want to knock on the door and make one of those, like, how much would it cost to get you to move out of this house and let me buy it type of deals? Then I think the Rays would listen if the Red Sox went calling. And it's always tough to deal within your division as well. But man of war, when we've just been crying and begging for the Red Sox to try to find a powerful right-handed bat and end our long-suffering regional nightmare that has been first base. Yes, I know Romy, my homie, went yard today, and Toro's been hanging in as well. Yeah. But Yandy Diaz on the season. I'm not sure who your top target is, Ted, but to me, 282, 18 ding-dong, 62 RBIs, 115 hits. He's 33 years old, so you're not paying for somebody who's 25 with like years of upside to go. Rather, you're looking for a dependable veteran who can come in, mash right now, and I think he would be an awesome fit at Fenway.
Agreed. I mean, you give me that OPS and that average, please. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? All day, man.
Okay, let's grab one more call before we hit the top of the hour and weave a little football into the fabric of the afternoon show. Joe has been waiting patiently in Lincoln, wants to talk a little trade deadline with the boys. How are you, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing okay, guys. But I've kind of changed my mind as I've been at home. My first thought was, look, the clubhouse chemistry is great. These are young guys developing. Roman Anthony's been a big difference. Well, do we really have to make some huge, significant deal trading away anybody that we really want to keep from the Red Sox? I don't. I see them getting better at fielding and running. They're just getting better.
Joe, I'm going to have to let you go. Unfortunately, your phone is kind of...
Do you want to tell him? Do you want to tell him, Fitzy, or you want me to tell Joe what's
ahead.
Up?
You take this one, Ted.
Here's the thing, Joe. I hear what you're saying. You don't want to trade anybody that you don't want to trade to bring in somebody that might not work great with the chemistry. If you don't make a trade, the team chemistry will all of a sudden start having cracks in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to for folks to understand the collective mindset of a baseball team when they feel like they're hot and they're they have momentum and they have a chance to do something and go to the playoffs, and that said team does not do anything at the trade deadline. I've seen teams fall apart mentally, and so that's the concern to not do anything. And I think it's a stronger concern than it would be worrying about, you know, who you sent away. And chances are it's probably prospects and guys that aren't even on the big club. So it's a non-factor in my opinion.
All right, real quick before we hit the break and flip the script to the 5 o'clock hour, Mike in the car has a blockbuster he wants to float by us real quick. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, this one's tough, Fitzy, but if you really think this team wants to be a legitimate World Series contender, you mentioned Yandy Diaz, that'd be a great piece for them to add, but would you consider trading Marcelo Meyer for Joe Ryan and Johan Duran to Minnesota?
Yep, 100%.
Ooh, Mike!
I'll drive him myself. I'll drive him to Logan myself.
Ted, could you pull the trigger?
You know, I'd have to. I wouldn't hang up the phone. I'd have to say, can I call you back and talk to a couple of my advisors?
What if they said you can't call us back? You got 5 minutes.
Let me at least talk to my advisors. Can I put you on hold then? Because that's a tasty one.
That's a big one.
That's a tasty one, man. I'd have a hard. It's the fact that I can't give you a definitive answer tells you. That would be a difficult. Marcelo, man, golly. He's flashed. Clearly, he's flashed.
Yep.
What some of you guys are concerned about is him getting hurt. He's got a history of getting hurt. But that's tough, man. I'd have to seriously think that one through.
Yeah, for a plus-level starter, a guy that could fill in if Crochet ever goes down, because we know he's going to get a couple extra days rest now, load management in the back end of the final third of the season, and also a guy that can come in, I don't know, Dan, coming out of the bullpen, throwing 101. I'm taking that call, and yeah, Ted, if they say you got 5 minutes, I'm definitely calling. I'm telling the advisors, get in here, you idiots. That'd be, oof, geez, Mike, wow, throwing that grenade in the room before we got to catch a break. How about that? All right, well, there's one to think about, Red Sox fans. If you have any giant Mike-sized level trade proposals you want to throw our way, it's trade deadline eve, and we are here for all of them at 617-779-7937. Coming up, 5 o'clock, it's time to talk a little football. It was day 7 at Pats Camp 2025 down in Foxborough. A few players flashed once again, and a couple of guys are beginning to, as Joe Namath used to say, struggle a little bit. We'll get to the highs and lows of day 7 from Mike Vrabel's first camp as head coach of the New England Patriots when WEEI Afternoons returns.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.